Well, the Lord has given us two happy, heartwarming days. Now, if the Lord doesn't come, we're back into the world again. Now, I just trust that what the Lord has laid on my heart is for His glory and the blessing and the encouragement for each one of us as we face this darkening world. Let's turn, please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. This is the story, beloved ones, that can fill your heart with the fire that comes from the Lord to face no matter what the difficulties are. And we're heading for them. I believe it in the depths of my soul. Joshua said when he came to the Jordan, "You have never passed this way before. Hitherto, and I believe that we are facing those days, as Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. My son was saying to me when I was speaking about this, he said, "Well, don't discourage people." I don't want to discourage you, beloved ones, but I want to warm your heart toward Christ and to cleave with Him with purpose of heart. Now, the Word of God is wonderful. It has pictures. I sat on my father's knee and I heard the Old Testament stories that I never could forget. This is one of those stories. King David was God's appointed king. And He is a picture for you and for me of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's King of the future day. He's on the throne. Seemed rather peaceful, but lurking in the background was rebellion by His own son. And this, I believe, is a serious picture, you dear young ones here, boys and girls. I'll have to go rather quickly through this story, but if you give me your attention, we can get the highlights of it. King David, let's read it. 2 Samuel 15, verse 1. And came to pass after this, that Absalom, now here's the son, a handsome young man, prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. I won't repeat it too often. It's a picture of the subtlety and the violence of Satan that is against you and me. To rob you and me of our joy of knowing the Savior and of being gathered to His blessed, precious name. He hates the name of the Lord Jesus. This is what Absalom was scheming. And he organized here. He has organization. You know, the world has organization. The Lord has order. Here he has organization. And Absalom rose up early. He was in earnest. And stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy, had a problem, came to the king, King David, for judgment. Then Absalom called him and said unto him, and said, "Of what city art thou?" Showing an interest, apparent interest in him. And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." He doesn't answer. One of the tribes, well, obviously he was. And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right." I haven't even heard the matters, and here he is in his subtlety saying, "You're right." To win him, to deceive him, to turn his heart away. But there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee, creating a feeling of insufficiency. You don't have anybody to help you. And so let's go over to the sixth verse. And on this manner did Absalom to a few of Israel? No, all of Israel. He's going to test every one of us here. Satan is going to try to rob you and me of our joy, and he'll use subtlety or violence toward the woman or toward the man. The roaring lion, the hissing serpent. And that came to the king for judgment, so Absalom, notice this, stole the hearts of the men of Judah. He's trying to do this to every one of us, steal away. We know that the scripture says, in whom the God of this world, that Satan, has blinded the minds. He works through the minds. But here in that Old Testament day, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He stole their hearts. Verse 10. But Absalom, here's his subtlety more again. And Absalom sent spies throughout a few of the places. No, all. He's working on every one of us, as I said. All the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." There was the beginning of rebellion. I don't want to be harping on the same point, but I just want to say that this is your life and my life in this world today. And Satan is doing exactly the same. God knows this, and he has planted this story as a warning, as an encouragement to stir your heart in affection to Christ and to be able to stand. But here are the subtleties first. Here is Absalom proclaimed to be the king. Let's go down to the 13th verse. And there came a messenger to David. Does the Lord know your problems? Yes, he does. He knows what Satan is trying to do to you. And here is what he's saying. And there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Judah are after Absalom." David, as I repeat, is a picture of Christ. The heart that is in you, Satan would deceive you and turn you away from Christ. Verse 14. And David said unto, here again is our word, all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem. Let me pause there for a minute. I love this expression. All that were with him. Are you with the Lord? Is he the one, the primary one of your life? all those, it doesn't say everybody was, but all those were. All, like it says in throughout the Old Testament, that days got darker, all that were present. And so he says, arise and let us flee. Now, do you get that point? It wasn't going to be a fight. But the Lord is saying to every one of us now in this world led by the God of this world, Satan, let us separate ourselves from the world and everything that is so enticing and apparently attractive to the eyes and to the mind. These are the two things that Satan uses. And so here he says, arise and let us flee. That wasn't a very good message. And neither is the message that you and I are to be separating ourselves from the world. And you, dear young boys and girls, you say, oh, you've got to have a little bit of fun once in a while. Yes, but don't forget that Satan is after your soul. Not to, if you are the Lord's, he can't take your salvation away, but he'll surely spoil your joy in the Lord. And this is what he's trying to do to you today, or when you face the world tomorrow. For we shall not else escape from Absalom. Now, just let me pause there for a minute. He was giving direct instruction, and you and I need that direct instruction. He'll give it to you. He doesn't let us find our own way through this world. And David is giving explicit instruction what to do. Are you obedient to what he is saying to you and to me? Are we listening? Are we obeying? And we shall not escape from Abraham. Make speed. Oh, make speed. What does that mean? Don't go to sleep. And the tendency is for us to be indifferent, and that's the disease of the day. Indifference. Easy going. So what? Who cares? Here is what David is saying. Lest he overtake us suddenly. He's warning against the subtleties. And this, by God's grace, I want to try to pass on to you younger ones today, to take the warnings that God is giving you. You can't be half in the world and be following the Lord. And so let's go on. And bring evil on us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. This verse 15. And the king's servant said unto the king, lovely, behold, thy servants are ready. Are you? Are you ready? You can be. Are ready and to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Total obedience. Now, we don't like obedience, do we? Nobody wants to be told what to do. And the world is just saying, you don't need to obey your parents, you dear young ones. You know that better than I do. But here is what David is saying, and verse 16, and the king went forth, and all his household. He took his household with him. After him, and the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. Now, here is David leading now how they are going to escape. He knows. You and I don't know the subtlety of Satan, and we can't. But we have the source. It's in the the scriptures and in the Lord. They that seek the Lord understand everything, Proverbs 28 and 5. The secret is with us, it's in the Lord. And so he says, let's go back just to the 16th a minute. David, just try to visualize this. David is starting off now, and there are three positions that are mentioned here. And the first one, 16th verse, and all his household after him. This whole family was following after him. 17. Here's the second position. And the king went forth, and all the people after him. Oh. Second position. And tarried in a place that was far off, a separated place. Now, I've been hearing this since I was a kid. It's a separated place that we have to take away from this world. We're following a rejected Savior. Am I? Are you? This was the instruction that David was giving. And the 18th verse, and all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites. These were not even Jewish people. These were some of the Gentile people. That's what you and I are. And all the Pelethites and all the Gittites. That was from Gath. 600 men which came after him from Gath passed on before the king. There we have the three positions now. Behind him, beside him, and in front of him. What does that mean? Well, of course, I'm sure you know. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. What a privilege it is for you and me in this desperate world to be gathered alone to the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you there? Are you one of those ones? It wasn't everybody, but the household was there. How lovely to have our household at the table with us, our children. 19. Very important verse now. Notice this. Then said the king to Ittai, the Gittite. Let me pause there. Here's a special man. As David is going around to see the ones that are with him, oh, who's this? This is a fellow from Gath. Who is that? That was Goliath. That was the Goliath, the giant, that David as a young man had killed. And here's one of his people with David. What is that telling us? Oh, you might meet many people that have never had the privilege that most of us here have had of fathers and mothers at the Lord's table. But there are many that we have contacts with that don't have that blessed privilege of being brought up in Christian homes. And it's very difficult sometimes for them to adjust to it. And here's one of them, Ittai of Gath. Gath, why, that was the enemy of Israel. And here's a man standing with David. Are you one of those? You dear boys and girls, do you stand for the Lord? We're Gentiles, and we can be like one of those. And then he says, in the middle of the 19th verse, Wherefore goest thou also with us? What are you doing? What are you following us for? What is he saying that for? He was testing him. in reality. Is there reality in your heart and mind? Reality? Not talking nice language and living otherwise. Here he's testing this man. What are you doing here? Listen to his reply. And then a little bit more. Return to thy place. He's testing him. He's testing him. You want to follow me or want to go back? Here's the opportunity. Lots of opportunities to give up these followings of the Lord. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. There he had the opportunity to go. Verse 20. Whereas thou camest but yesterday. You're just a new one here. He just came along yesterday. You want to follow me? Should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. He gave him the opportunity. Next verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, oh, I just trust that each one of us will say this in our heart. And he answers, as the Lord liveth. He doesn't say the king. He's right to the Lord. As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the king liveth, surely in what place my Lord the king shall be, whether... I find it hard to read this. It was in earnest. I'm ready to die. Whether in death. It doesn't say life or death. He says death or life. Or life. The worst. Death. I'm ready, he says. Even there also will thy servant be. David stops testing him and listen to what he says. Verse 22, and David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. Now, just for you younger ones, Ittai had some children. Maybe there was a teenage boy there, and he might say to his dad, oh, Dad, I got a good job. And do I have to lose that? What did David say, son? What did David say? Or he answers and says, David is the king, son, we're following him. Maybe one of you little girls put yourself in there. Maybe one of the little girls said to Ittai, Dad, do we have to go out here in the woods? I want to go back to my bedroom. Oh, darling, we're following David. It's difficult, I know. And maybe the little girl would say, all right, Daddy, I want to go. Are you saying that? All the family was with him. The little ones that were with him. Verse 23, and all the country wept with a loud voice. No rejoicing in the circumstances. Let's not try to think our circumstances are happy. It's a trying time. And so they're all weeping, and all the people passed over. Oh, notice that. The king also himself The Lord was, at least David was with him. The Lord is with you and me in all our trials and difficulties. And passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the Pleasant Valley? No, wilderness. Wilderness. This is what we're in. We're in a wilderness following. This is reality, dear ones. It's real. This is the story of your life, as I said. It's the wilderness. Let's go down farther. About to 30. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. Oh, what's that? That's the Mount of Olives, where Jesus died on the cross 1,000 years later. Here they go down that Kidron Valley. I've walked on there several times. And wept as he went. Jesus wept, and David wept. Don't be afraid to cry. We're in desperate days. And he went barefoot. Nothing attractive to the eyes. David barefoot. A rejected Savior we follow. And with him, and that was with him, and covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. Now that's the end of that part of the story. Now, are you and I faithful? Is this the end of the story? Does it just go on and on and on? Now we're going to look into the inside of it. Let's go over to the 18th chapter. That's the 18th chapter, first verse. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captives of hundreds over them. Here David is now organizing his own little army. He's going to choose 3 men. Put yourself here in this story. What's the first one? Verse 2. David sent forth 1/3 of the people under the hand of Joab. That was his nephew. And 1/3 under the hand of Abishai. That was also another nephew, his brother. Joab's brother. Notice this. And 1/3 under the hand of Ittai. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I want to tell you this, that if you and I are faithful in this life, Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that when the Lord comes, and after he has come and taken us to heaven, and he comes back in his glory, to the degree commensurate with your life, you are going to replace the angels. Hebrews 2 says he's going to set The Lord is going to set aside the angels, and the faithful ones in this day of grace are going to replace the angels. And if you and I are faithful to Christ, there's a reward. You don't act for the reward, but we act for Christ. But he's not going to overlook the faithfulness, and he won't miss anything that you do for the Lord. And there's a reward coming. As I said, it's the Lord, not the rewards. Verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule went under from under him and went away. He was a handsome man, and he had a tremendous head of hair. his pride, no doubt, and he's on his donkey, and he goes under a tree, and his hair catches in the tree, and the donkey goes on his left, and one of the men kill him. He's dead. And this is going to happen to the enemy of our souls. Let's not forget that. It may look difficult, but it's not over yet. Now, just a little bit more. Verse 17. Chapter 18, verse 17. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit. That's going to be Satan's end. Into the bottomless pit. The one that is subtly trying to deceive us, that's his end. The story is here so encouraging to us. And a heap of stones upon him. Now, one last verse. 28. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, when there was message brought to him about Absalom being dead, all is well. Can you say that? All is well. Difficult, yes. Oh, yes. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story, as we were singing in that hymn just now, the glory ahead of us and the wilderness, the present. Oh, that our heart, you dear young ones, and each one of us, myself included, is Christ the attraction of our heart. Difficult, whatever it may be, the end is not yet. Keep on, dear beloved ones. Day is getting difficult, but here's the end of the story. David is proclaimed king, and so it will be the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, our rejected Savior today, is going to reign over this earth, and this whole world, Ezekiel tells us, you're going to light up with his glory. Is it worth it? You answer it by your life.